The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What are you supposed to do if you can't find a grace-oriented church to attend, to be a part of? Thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus. We are happy to have you here. We have many resources for you to find at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Many articles, many resources, some of which are free, and we do invite you to go there. Now it's time for today's discussion. This is a question and answer session. And today we hear from Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates. Gentlemen.
Go. You got a question here, Ken, from somebody named Mark, I think?
Yes, Mark has a question, and he says it's a long question, and I might need to condense it, so I will. Mark lives in an area where there are no free grace churches, but he does go to a church where there is verse-by-verse teaching.
Sound verse-by-verse teaching?
Yes. In his words, he is a great teacher, extremely knowledgeable, and he says he gets a lot out of these sermons. But the interesting thing is he quotes from both MacArthur and people like Swindoll, and when he speaks of salvation, he basically says, hey, I'm not going to get into it. On once saved, always saved. You draw your own conclusions.
Now, that's pretty bizarre. He says, eternal security, I'm not going to tell you if that's true or not. You draw your own conclusion.
Right. And he's been going to this church for 5 months, and he's strong free grace, been free grace for 16 years, and he has absolute confidence in his salvation. He says in the church, they're completely fine with that. He's never gotten any negative feedback from anybody. So his issue is, should he confront the pastor, this teacher, on this issue of once saved, always saved? Or should I leave it alone, since he seems to leave it up to each individual person? Basically, the question in a broader sense is, and this is one we've talked about with other people as well, what do you do if you are in a place where there are no free grace churches and you find one that you can tolerate, where they're free grace friendly? They're right. Not going to dog you if you teach free grace theology. What should he do? That's
okay.
The question.
First of all, he asked, should he confront? And I would say no. Confront is too strong of a word. I think he needs to find out what the doctrinal position of the church is. If the church has a published doctrinal statement, which most churches do, look it up and see, is what the pastor is teaching consistent with the church's doctrinal statement? That is, do they take no stand on once saved, always saved? Do they take no stand on what you must do to be born again? Or do they say in their doctrinal statement one way or the other? So that's first thing. Secondly,
but I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
As you know, a lot of churches, they may not have looked at their doctrinal statement in 20 years.
Exactly.
Or they may not follow it. They may not even know what it is.
That's a great point. But I would say this, if the doctrinal statement of the church is lordship salvation, let's say, anybody that's going to that church has no right to go to the pastor and go, how dare you preach lordship salvation? Because that's the church's position. If you can't live with what they're teaching, then go somewhere else. Having said that, Mark is saying he can live with what they're teaching, and he likes it, except for the fact that the guy evidently doesn't take any stand whatsoever on what you must do to be saved. Doesn't it sound like that?
It sounds strange for us because we take such strong stances on
right.
it. But yeah, I could see where that could be, where people are just like, whatever.
Well,
yeah.
I wrote an article years ago on the generic gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And what I suggested, and I think I was right, maybe I just made this up, but I think I'm right. Lots of pastors, their goal is to keep the people they have and grow new people, right?
Right, right.
So they want their congregation to be not only healthy spiritually, but they want it to be healthy numerically and financially. They don't want their church to go from 125 down to 30. So as a result, a lot of pastors preach what I call the generic gospel. They will say you need to accept Christ. You need to receive Christ, something like that. If you receive Christ, you're saved. If you accept Christ, you're saved. But they don't tell you what that means. So it's just some kind of vague thing. People who hold lordship salvation can say, well, he means what we mean. And someone who holds to free grace can say, oh, he means what we mean. And it sounds like this guy might be there when he says, hey, once saved, always saved, I'm not going there. You draw your own conclusions. I'm going to give you a generic message.
This is what sounds so bizarre to me. He talks about this pastor is an excellent verse-by-verse expository preacher. How can you do that? How do you look at all these verses in the New Testament? And if you're going verse-by-verse, how do you not address this issue?
Bingo, ding, 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 ding. I agree. If he is preaching all of the counsel of God, if he's going through John occasionally, he's got to preach eternal security or deny what the text says, one or the other. And if he's preaching through Galatians, same thing. Romans, same thing. If you're teaching them verse by verse, you can't say you draw your own conclusions on eternal security because the text is clear. It would be kind of like saying, let's say I said I'm a pastor and I say the Trinity, draw your own conclusions.
Yeah.
The deity of Christ, draw your own conclusions. The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross. Draw your own conclusions. No pastor would say that, right?
Right.
But I think the reason why this guy might do it is because he realizes if he goes down the once saved, always saved route, he's losing the people who come out of a Pentecostal background, out of a Church of Christ background, all kinds of Arminian backgrounds. So he doesn't want to lose those people. He wants to keep it open. Ken, you'll get a kick out of this. I was an elder at a Bible church in Louisville back in 90, 91, 92, and we didn't have membership. And so I'd been an elder for close to a year, I guess, and they decided they wanted to have membership. I pushed for the fact that in order to become a member, a person would have to be interviewed by two elders. I was on, I think it was the first group of people that we interviewed. And this other elder named Ken and I, we interviewed this couple. I was asking the questions about their testimony, so I came to them and I said, well, tell me, how did you become a Christian? And the wife was the more talkative of the two, and she said, well, we love John MacArthur. We love the book, The Gospel According to Jesus. We turned from our sins and we gave our lives to Christ and we're born again. So like a week later, we're having the elder meeting and we're trying to decide which of the people who were interviewed get to become members. And so we came to this couple, and I'm wanting to hear what the other people say before I weigh in. And they're like, Ken says, this is a wonderful couple. They're just such nice, godly people. And the other elders were like, yeah, they really sound like it. And I had already said what they answered to the question of how were you born again. And so then after they'd all weighed in, I said, now, wait a minute, I don't get it. Our doctrinal statement is that a person is born again by faith in Christ, apart from works, that there's no lordship salvation, no commitment salvation.
And they were heavy in that.
So the elder said, I couldn't believe it. The chairman of the board said, you know what? If we don't accept these people for membership, they'll go somewhere else. And if they go somewhere else, they're not going to hear the solid teaching they're going to get here. If they stay here and hear the solid teaching they get here, then they'll give up lordship salvation and they'll become free grace. This is the nuttiest thing I've ever heard in my life. The whole point of church is not that we trick people into coming into a church that disagrees with them, and then we try to somehow manipulate them into agreeing with what we said. And besides, what often happens in that case is these people are having an influence on other people in the church.
I would also say that this is a similar question that we get a lot. What do we do when there's not any solid free grace churches around? That's right. Really what we're dealing with.
Yeah. I have four answers. See what you think, Ken.
Okay.
Number one, you can drive further. Number two, you can move. You can move somewhere. If it's important enough to move for your job, it should be important enough to move for your church. Number three, you can start a church in your home. Number four, you can find the best church you can find and tolerate it.
And that's where Mark is right here.
Mark seems to be there. Now, the thing that scared me the most about what you said is he talks about how he loves the pastor, the teaching is helping, and then he says he's been there 5 months?
5 months.
That means he's heard like 20 sermons?
Mm-hmm.
Not a big sample size. So what I would suggest is, I mean, this does sound like the kind of church, if it is Bible teaching verse by verse, that makes it unusual. I've often said that even though I disagree with MacArthur strongly on the free gift of everlasting life and the promise of life, I agree with him on so many things. Like, he teaches verse by verse. He's got
inspiration.
Inerrancy.
Right.
Marriage.
Yeah.
He believes it's one man, one woman.
Creationism.
Creation. I believe he holds to young earth creationism.
Right.
There's a lot of things I like about Grace Community Church. And
but I got news for you,
Bob. They're going to be playing this on the service this Sunday.
If you went to John MacArthur's church, he would not tell you, just take it what you want. He would tell you to leave. He would tell me to leave, too.
Yeah, so, that's right. But the thing I'm saying is, I can understand how you could tolerate a church. He's not even saying this is a lordship church. He's just saying this is a vanilla church
when it comes
when it comes to salvation. So I could see tolerating it, but here's the big issue. What do you do with your finances?
Yes.
Are you going to be giving this church $300 a month, $500 a month, $1,000 a month, when they won't even say whether eternal security is true?
Right. Yeah.
It seems hard to get strongly behind this church financially.
Yeah, and then there's other issues. For example, like if there's a Sunday school class.
Right.
You know, can you meet in there? And if it's not contrary to their doctrinal statement.
Right.
You know, we're free. You can come in here and teach free grace
or
theology.
Even if it is contrary, if they don't hold to the doctrinal
statement
anymore.
Right, yeah, if they've blown that off.
If they let you teach or say what you want when someone else is teaching.
Right, or you can teach a Sunday school class.
Right.
And they go, hey, we would love for you to teach a Sunday school
class. And I've known situations like this.
Right, so a lot of issues.
But just keep also this in mind. This situation is fluid.
Right.
For one thing, this pastor may not stay more than another year or two, and then the new pastor may say, no, you're not welcome.
And they
here.
May kick you up, right.
Right. And secondarily...
And I know people like that,
yeah.
Right.
And secondarily, even if this pastor stays, some of the elders may get word that you're saying things in Sunday school they don't like, and they may put pressure on the pastor, and you may end up having to leave.
Whatever you do, remember,
keep grace in focus.
All right.
Thank you both for that informative discussion. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on Grace in Focus, does Jude 4 support the Calvinist position of predestination? And what is double predestination? Join us next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.